Hello and welcome to AZA Nano News for the week commencing the 6th of October 2008. My name is Stuart Cameron. This episode of AZA Nano News is brought to you by Malvern Instruments, a world leader in innovative solutions for material characterization challenges. In this edition of AZA Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how scientists are building a chip that can replace your sense of smell, and how nanomaterials might one day help those with spinal injuries to walk again. In this week's AZA Nano interview, Cameron Chai speaks to Denise Hoban and Adrian Harris from Micromaterials about the Nanotest Nano Indentation System. These stories and more in this edition of AZA Nano News. Mathematicians at Liverpool, working with scientists from the CNRS, have found that coastal defences could be made invisible when water is guided through a special structure called metamaterial. Metamaterial was first invented by Sir John Pendry at Imperial College London, where scientists discovered that this unique structure could bend electromagnetic radiation, such as visible light, radar or microwaves, around a spherical space, making an object within this region appear invisible. The new structure is cylindrical and consists of rigid pillars that help guide water along concentric corridors. The pillars interact with the water, guiding it in different directions along the corridors and increasing its speed as it nears the centre of the structure, similar to a whirlpool. The water waves, however, are never broken up and exit the structure as though they'd never been disturbed. In a step towards developing better fuel cells for electric cars and more, engineers at MIT and two other institutions have taken the first images of individual atoms on and near the surface of nanoparticles, key to the eco-friendly energy storage devices. Nanoparticles made of platinum and cobalt are known to catalyze some of the chemical reactions behind fuel cells, making those reactions run up to four times faster than if platinum alone is used as the catalyst. No one, however, understands exactly why. That's because little is known about the nanoparticles' surface atomic structure and chemistry, which are key to the particle's activity. Using a new technique known as aberration-corrected scanning transmission electron microscopy, researchers at the University of Texas identified specific atomic structures near the surface of such a catalyst. That information in hand, the researchers proposed a theory for why the material is so active. Perhaps most importantly, knowing the surface composition will help scientists to design even better catalysts. A Northwestern University research team has developed a promising nanomaterial-based biomedical device that could be used to deliver chemotherapy drugs locally to sites where cancerous tumors have been surgically removed. The flexible microfilm device, which resembles a piece of plastic wrap and can be easily customized into different shapes, has the potential to transform conventional treatment strategies and reduce patients' unnecessary exposure to toxic drugs. The device takes advantage of nanodiamonds, an emergent technology for sustained drug release. The researchers demonstrated that the device releases a chemotherapy agent in a sustained and consistent manner, a requirement of any implanted device for localized chemotherapy. A fresh discovery about the way water behaves inside carbon nanotubes could have implications in fields ranging from the function of ultra-tiny, high-tech devices to scientists' understanding of biological processes, according to researchers from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The findings relate to a property of so-called nano-confined water, specifically whether hollow carbon nanotubes take in the liquid easily or reluctantly, depending on their temperature. As well as shedding light on the characteristics of human-made nanomaterials, researchers note that such properties are relevant to the workings of biological structures and phenomena which also function at nanoscales. The team of scientists examined carbon nanotubes measuring just 1.4 nanometers in diameter. The seamless cylinders were made from rolled-up graphene sheets, the exfoliated layer of graphite. Normally, graphene is hydrophobic or water-hating, and it repels water in the same way that drops of dew will roll off a lotus leaf. But researchers found that in the extremely limited space inside these tubes, the structure of water changes, and that it's possible to change the relationship between the graphene and the liquid to hydrophilic or water-liking. Providing a glimpse into the infinitesimal, physicists have found a novel way of spying on some of the universe's tiniest building blocks. Their camera consists of a special flaw in diamonds that can be manipulated into sensitively monitoring magnetic signals from individual electrons and atomic nuclei placed nearby. The new work represents a dramatic sharpening of the basic approach used in nuclear magnetic resonance and magnetic resonance imaging, which ascertain chemical structures and image inside human bodies by scanning the magnetic activity of billions of individual nuclei. The new diamond-based magnetic sensor could enable novel forms of imaging, marrying NMR's non-invasive nature with atomic-scale spatial resolution, potentially benefiting fields ranging from material science, spintronics and quantum information, to structural biology, neuroscience and biomedicine. Among other applications, the new research could make it possible to peer inside proteins, map the structure of impossibly intricate molecules, closely observe the dynamics of microscopic biochemical processes, monitor the activity of neural circuits, or use single electrons and nuclei for storing and processing information. How heavy or how big can an object be before losing its quantum properties and obeying the laws of classical physics? This question drives many research groups around the globe. Answers are elusive because currently there are no systems which allow observing the expected tiny signatures of quantum effects in macroscopic objects. A novel system developed in the MPG Junior Research Group Laboratory of Photonics could resolve this problem. The scientists succeeded in developing a micron-scale on-chip resonator, which allows for optimized mechanical and optical quality, even though these quantities in general have opposing requirements. The system combines the world's best optical and mechanical coherence properties, and its sensitivity could be used for basic research, such as exploring the quantum behavior of tangible micron-scale objects, as well as for applications such as further improving frequency and time standards. This is the first system which allows controlling optical and mechanical degrees of freedom within a chip-scale device. MIT biological engineers have found a way to mass-produce smell receptors in the laboratory, an advance that paves the way for artificial noses to be created and used in a variety of settings. The work could also allow scientists to unlock the mystery of how the sense of smell can recognize a seemingly infinite range of odors. Smell is perhaps one of the oldest and most primitive senses, but nobody really understands how it works. Artificial noses could one day replace drug and explosive sniffing dogs and could have numerous medical applications, according to researchers. Until now, efforts to understand the molecular basis of smell have been stymied by the difficulty in working with the proteins that detect odors, known as olfactory receptors. The main barrier to studying smell is that scientists haven't been able to make enough receptors and purify them to homogeneity. Now it's finally available as a raw material for people to utilize and should enable many new scientists into smell research. Smell is one of the most complex and least understood senses. Humans have a vast olfactory system that includes close to 400 functional genes, more than any dedicated to any other function. Animals such as dogs and mice have around 1,000 functional olfactory receptor genes. In collaboration with scientists from the Nanotech Institute of the University of Texas at Dallas, CSIRO has achieved a major breakthrough in the development of commercially viable manufacturing processes for a range of materials made from carbon nanotubes. Carbon nanotubes possess a number of qualities: high tensile strength, high flexibility, high electrical and thermal conductivity, and transparency, which have excited great interest in a number of manufacturing industries, including the electronic, automotive, energy, and clothing industries. Flexible carbon nanotubes have been spun into ribbons that conduct electricity efficiently and are 5 times stronger than steel. Until now, the application of carbon nanotube technology has been severely limited due to the lack of a cost-efficient method of producing large sheets of carbon nanotube material. However, the UTD CSIRO team recently demonstrated that synthetically made carbon nanotubes can be commercially manufactured into transparent sheets that are stronger than steel sheets of the same weight. Scientists are finding that nanoparticles that are found in electronics, food containers, sunscreens, and a variety of applications can breach our most personal protective barrier, the skin. The University of Rochester Medical Center has published a paper showing that nanoparticles pass through the skin of a living organism, a type of mouse commonly used as a model to study the damaging effects of sunlight. It's the strongest evidence yet indicating that some nanoparticles are so small that they can actually seep through skin, especially when the skin has been damaged. The health implications of nanoparticles in the body are uncertain. Other scientists have found that the particles can accumulate in the lymph system, the liver, the nervous system, and in other areas of the body. In the study, researchers found that the particles accumulate around the hair follicles and in tiny skin folds. Purdue University researchers have developed a method of using nanoparticles to deliver treatments to injured brain and spinal cord cells. A research team coated silicon nanoparticles with a polymer to target and repair injured guinea pig spinal cords. The team then used the coated nanoparticles to deliver both the polymer and hydralazine to cells with secondary damage from a naturally produced toxin. The group had previously shown benefits of the polymer polyethylene glycol, or PEG, to treat rats with brain injuries and dogs with spinal cord injuries. PEG specifically targets damaged cells and seals the injured area, reducing further damage. It also helps to restore cell function. The team concluded that the use of nanoparticles to deliver both PEG and hydralazine increased the effectiveness of earlier PEG-only treatments by controlling and concentrating release of the drug and the polymer, producing a dual treatment and prolonging the treatment's duration. The goal of the research is to improve the quality of life of those who've suffered head or spinal cord injuries. This episode of Azo Nano News is brought to you by Malvern Instruments, a world leader in innovative solutions for material characterization challenges. In the last 1.5 months, Malvern has introduced 3 exciting new products for characterizing nanomaterials. The Malvern Kinexus rheometer is taking the rheology field by storm by offering more rheology, less effort. The Zetasizer UV offers industry-leading sensitivity for measuring biomolecule size even when the smallest of sample volumes are available. The Zetasizer APS is an automated DLS system for measuring 96 or 384 protein samples automatically from industry-standard well plates. In this week's Azo Nano interview, Cameron Chai speaks to Denise Hoban and Adrian Harris from Micromaterials about the Nanotest Nano Indentation System. They explain that it has a unique loading system that enables users to perform tests that more accurately replicate real-life operating conditions, thus allowing users to gain a more precise estimation of how a component can be expected to behave in service.
This is Cameron Chai from Azom.com, and I've got with me today Denise Hoban, who's the International Business Development Manager, and Adrian Harris, the SaaS and Applications Engineer for Micromaterials. How are you going today, guys?
Very well, thank you. Thanks. Excellent.
Yep. Good to hear. Now, can you tell me a little bit about Micromaterials and what you guys do?
Well, Micromaterials, we are a company who are based in Wrexham in North Wales in the UK, and we produce the Nanotest Nano Indentation System, which has been around for quite a while and is quite different from other nano indentation systems on the market for the unique capabilities that the Nanotest has.
So your device is a bit different to everybody else's all the other nano indenters on the market.
Yeah, the whole basis of the system is the pendulum system, which means that we have a horizontal loading system, which is different to our competitors who use a vertical loading system. And the horizontal loading system affords us some very different capabilities that we can only do because of this horizontal loading.
And what are the advantages of the horizontal loading system compared to the other systems on the market?
Well, as Denise said, it opens up a whole load of applications which aren't really accessible to some of our competitors. For example, A lot of people do a lot of materials development work and measurements in laboratory conditions. In the real world, these materials aren't going to be used under laboratory conditions. So what we try to do at Micromaterials is test under application-specific conditions.
So basically, if people develop materials and devices using your machine, they can just about cut down their research and development time and then time to market?
That's the aim, yeah. And for example, what we can do is we can simulate, using the nanotest system, something like a cutting tool operation, for example. So what we can do is we can actually elevate the temperature of our sample up to 750 Celsius as a maximum point. And we can also then do what we call nano-impacts, which is actually quite a unique test. So it's a high strain rate measurement. So what happens there is we can actually determine whether the material that we think is going to perform well in application, and that we can determine the properties of that material at the application-specific conditions.
So like in-situ real operation conditions?
Exactly, that's right, yeah.
Okay, and so you were saying that your device can be used under various operating conditions. What sort of conditions are those?
We do high-temperature nano-indentation and scratch testing, which allows the user to carry out indentation testing with both the sample and the indenter heated to non-ambient temperatures up to a maximum of 750 degrees. Now, this affords very different the user to test the material at the operating temperature of the material that is going to be used at. Also, we can do nano-indentation and scratch testing in a liquid, which is very important in the biofield, where materials developed for implantation in the body are always going to work in a liquid environment. So it's very important that we understand the mechanical properties of those materials in a liquid environment and not in just a dry environment.
So again, just reiterating, this is something that other people can't do with more conventional nano-indenters?
It makes it a lot more difficult due to the horizontal loading system employed by most of the systems on the market. The horizontal pendulum means that we have a very, very open platform. So in relation to the high temperature testing, we've got plenty of space to have a heat shield which can absorb the high temperature to make sure that the system stability is not affected by the additional modules added. So if we're working at high temperature, the system drift is no worse than the system drift at room temperature. And on the nano test, we have an industry-leading low thermal drift level, 0.004 nanometers per second, which is extremely low, and it's as low at high temperature as it is at room temperature.
You've been selling the nano test since 1988, you were saying?
Well, the company was established in 1988. I think the first nano test sold in 1992. And we have been growing ever since.
Okay, and how many nanotests have you sold around the world so far? Roundabouts?
We've got about 200 nanotests around the world.
And what industries have you been selling those into?
A variety. We have a lot of users in the research and development side of things, so universities, research institutes, national laboratories, and then we've got a good proportion of users also in industry, so in R&D labs within industry. So it's quite a mix across a very, very wide variety of applications, everything from coating development, cutting tools, automotive, biomedical, petroleum industry, the medical industry. There's a really, really huge range of users out there using the system for a lot of different purposes.
So great to hear your device is being used in all different fields.
It's fantastic to think that the nanotest is helping develop these materials which will be used for years to come.
And for anybody out there who's interested in your machines, have you got any new developments on the horizon that they might be interested in?
Well, there's always some new things. That we develop a lot of new things at the request of our customers, but the main thing in development at the moment is something called nano-fretting. And Adrian, maybe might say a few words about the nano-fretting?
It's a nanoscale wear test. Many materials fail through a very, very small displacement, oscillating displacement, when in contact with another component. We can now simulate that. It's very, very useful for doing investigations onto things like very, very thin optical films on lenses. One other thing that's actually in the development pipeline at the moment, something that we hope to commercialise, hopefully within the next kind of 6 months, is the low temperature stage. So that would enable us to go, instead of going up in temperature, going down to about minus 50 Celsius. So that opens up for us a whole range, another range of application areas that we can work on.
So even though the nanotest has been the base machine for a number of years, you guys have been adding modules to it and doing modifications to it and evolving the design of the machine to keep up with with new applications, new requirements for customers?
Absolutely. And the way that we develop the new modules are such that existing customers can easily bolt these onto an existing machine, which means that our users really are always at the forefront of the technology available for nano indentation, because they can just add to their existing machine rather than having to buy a whole new machine. And that's the way I think it works very well like that.
Micromaterials has always worked very, very closely and in response to its customers. So very often somebody will purchase a basic nano indenter system, and then throughout the course of their research activities will determine they need to do a slightly different type of test. Because we're quite a small dynamic company, we can actually engage into development projects with customers to develop very, very application-specific testing techniques. And that's how micromaterials has always been at the forefront of technology, because we're responsive to what is really needed in the real world, rather than developing kind of very, very interesting but essentially useless testing techniques.
Yeah. All right then, sounds like a great machine, and thanks for telling us about micromaterials and the nanotest. Thanks very much for your time, Denise and Adrian.
Thank you very much.
Azo Nano Business News. IBM today launched a global service delivery centre based in Egypt and signed agreements with the government to create a nanotechnology research centre and develop a services science university curriculum. Samuel J. Parmisano, IBM chairman, president and chief executive officer, met with Egyptian president Hosni Mubarak to discuss IBM's new initiatives in Egypt focused on scientific research and information technology exports, which are part of the company's increased focus on growth markets around the world. Awa Paper Co. Limited, a manufacturer of various specialty paper products, announced that they've jointly developed a new filter media with Finetex Technology Global Limited from Hong Kong. The new filter media is coated with Finetex Technology's nanofiber web on its surface for automobile engine and gas turbine application. The Alberta Centre for Advanced Microsystems and Nanotechnology Products is pleased to announce the appointment of Dr. Kevin Yallop as Chief Technology Officer. In this new role, Dr. Yallop will lead the product development effort within the ACIMP to build a world-class capability in Alberta for the packaging and assembly of micro and nanoscale technology devices, turning them into market-ready commercial or industrial products and applications. Alpha Acer, a Johnson Matthey company, has published a new high-purity metals and materials catalogue, which highlights Alpha Acer's entire range of metals and alloys from aluminium to zirconium, featuring purities up to 99.9999%. Products are offered in a broad variety of forms, including wires, foils, shots, targets, powders, thermocouple wires, and many more. In addition to the pure metals and elements section, the new 334-page catalogue includes sections on carbon graphite, ceramics, evaporation materials, nanomaterials, brazing products, fuel cell catalysts, optics and crystals, equipment, and more. Ferro Corporation and Nanofilm today announced that they've reached an agreement whereby Ferro will market Nanofilm's unique range of nano coatings to the global glass and ceramic markets. This new relationship combines Ferro's extensive sales network and leading performance materials supplier position in the glass and ceramic industries with Nanofilm's technology platforms and experience in formulating thin films for a wide range of substrates and surfaces. This year's Julius Springer Prize for Applied Physics will be awarded to Faden Avuris and Tony Hines for their pioneering work on the electrical and optical properties of nanoscale carbon materials, including carbon nanotubes, from basic science to exciting applications. The award, accompanied by a US $5,000 check, will be presented at the Julius Springer Forum on Applied Physics 2008 at Harvard University in Cambridge. E-Bioscience Corporation, a leading global provider of innovative high-quality cell analysis reagents, announced today the expansion of its multicolor cellular analysis portfolio with the introduction of its eFluor brand and the commercial launch of the eFluor NAN Crystals product line. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 6th of October 2008. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. This episode of Azo Nano News is brought to you by Malvern Instruments, the leading supplier of particle size analyzers in the world. For an online catalogue and this month's focused product, go to malvern.com. Malvern Instruments is a world leader in providing innovative solutions for material characterisation challenges, specifically for particle characterisation, rheology and analytical imaging. Take advantage of the information-rich website and access to the many technical papers, webinars and on-demand presentations at www.malvern.com. To read expanded versions of the stories you've heard about in this podcast, or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.